Madhavan Kunja Vihari. Kupidana Ballava Kiri Varadhari Kupidana Ballava Kiri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana 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 Jamuna Tira Vannachari Jamuna Tira Vannachari Amadava Kunja Vihari Gopidana Ballava Girivaradhari Gopidana Ballava Gopidana Ballava Girivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana 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 Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vannachari Tira vannachari, Yamuna tira vannachari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunj পূজা বিহার আমার পূজা বিহার জয় রাধ আমার পূজা বিহার কবে জানাবালা গিরিবার ধারে রূপে জানাবালা গপে জানাবালা গিরিবার ধারে এ জানাবালা যশোদ নন্দন ভজদন্দ যশোদ নন্দন যশোদ নন্দন ভজদন্দ যশোদ নন্দন যশোদ নন্দন ভজদন্দ যশোদ নন্দন ভজদন্দ চরণা বচনারঞ্জন চরণা বচনারঞ্জন চরণা বচনারঞ্জন যমুনা তীরা বন ছাড়ে তীরা বন্ন চায়রান আমার বা পঞ্জাবি জয় ওম বিষ্ণুপাদ পরমহংস পরিব্রজকাচার্য অষ্টতর সদসি সমাধি ডিভাইন গ্রেস অভয় চরণারবিন্দ ভক্তিবিনোদ গোস্বামী মহারাজ শ্রীল প্রভুপাদ কি অনন্ত কোটি বৈষ্ণববৃন্দ কি নামাচার্য লর্ড ঠাকুর কি হংসকহ শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু নিত্যানন্দ শ্রী ভগবতে বাসুদেবায়া ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায়া ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায়া অল্পায়ুষাম স্থানজয়াত পুনর্ভবাত ক্ষণায়ুষাম ভারত ভুজায় বরম ক্ষণেন মার্চেন কৃতম মনস্বিনঃ সন্ন্যস্য সম্যান্তি অভয়ম পদম হরে কল্পায়াসাম স্থানজয়াত পুনর্ভবাত ক্ষণায়ুষাম ভরত ভুজায় বরম ক্ষণেন মার্চেন কৃতম মনস্বিনা সন্ন্যস্য সম্যান্তি অভয়ম পদম হরে অল্পায়ুষাম স্থানজয়াত পুনর্ভবাত ক্ষণায়ুষাম ভরত ভুজায় বরম ক্ষণেন মার্চেন কৃতম মনস্বিনা Sanyasya samyantya bhayam padam harihe. Kalpayu samstana jayat punabhavat. Kshanayu sambharatabhu jayovaram. Kshanena marchena kritam manasvina. Sanyasya samyantya bhayam padam hare. Kalpayu samstana jayat punabhavat. Kshanayu sambharata bhujayovaram. Kshanena machena kritam manasvina.
Sanyasya samyantya bhayam padam hare.
Sanyasya samyantya bhayam padam hare. Kalpayu samstana jayat
punabhavat.
Kshanayu sambharata
bhujayovaram.
Kalpayu samstana jayat
punabhavat.
Nyasya samyantra payam padam bhare. Matter just anyone? It's too far to read. Kalpa ayasam. Of those who have a life duration of many millions of years. Of those who have a life duration of many millions of years, like Lord Brahma, Sthanajayat, than achievement of the place, or planetary systems, Punakbhavat, which is liable to birth, death and old age. Kshana ayusam. Of persons who have only 100 years of life. Bharata bhujayaha. A birth in the land of Bharatvarsha. Varam. More valuable. Kshanena. For such a short life. Machena. By the body, kritam, the work executed, manasvinaha, those actually understanding the value of life, sannyasya, surrendering unto the lotus feet of Krishna, samyanti, they achieve, abhayam, where there is no anxiety, Padam, the abode, Harehe, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation. A short life in the land of Bharatvarsha is preferable to a life achieved in Brahmaloka for millions and billions of years, because even if one is elevated to Brahmaloka, he must return to repeated birth and death. Although life in Bharatvarsha in a lower planetary system is very short, one who lives there can elevate himself to full Krishna consciousness and achieve the highest perfection, even in this short life, by fully surrendering unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Thus one attains Vaikuntha Loka, where there is neither anxiety nor repeated birth in a material body. Please repeat. Please repeat. A short life in the land of Bharatvarsa.
A short life in the land of Bharatvarsa.
Is preferable to a life.
Achieved in
Brahma Loka.
For
millions and billions of years.
Because
even if one is elevated to Brahma Loka, he must return to repeated birth and death. Although life in
Bharatvarsa,
in a lower planetary system,
is very short,
one who lives there
can
elevate himself to full Krishna consciousness
and
achieve the highest perfection,
even in
this short life.
By
fully surrendering
unto the lotus feet of the Lord.
Thus one attains
Vaikuntha Loka,
where there is neither anxiety
nor
repeated birth and death in a material body. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is further confirmation of the statement given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bharata bhumite haila manushya janmayar janmasartaka kari kara para upakar. One who has taken birth in the land of Bharatvarsa has a full opportunity to study the direct instructions given by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita and thus finally decide what to do in his human form of life. One should certainly give up all other propositions and surrender to Krishna. Krishna will then immediately take charge and relieve one of the results of past sinful life. Am tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayasyami masuchaha. Therefore one should take to Krishna consciousness as Krishna himself recommends. Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyajimam namaskuru. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer me obeisances. This is very easy, even for a child. Why not take this path? Why not take this path? One should try to follow the instructions of Krishna exactly, and thus become fully eligible to be promoted to the kingdom of God. Chakva deham puna janma naiti mam etu sojana. One should go directly to Krishna and engage in his service. This is the best opportunity offered to the inhabitants of Bharatvarsa. One who is fit to return home back to Godhead is no longer liable to the results of karma, good or bad. So this is Shukadeva Goswami speaking, of course. And these are the Thus Narada Muni, along with the other inhabitants of Bharatvarsa, always engages in the service of Naranarayan, and he chants as follows. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Naranarayan. Narada, the most powerful saintly sage, also worships Naranarayan by chanting the following mantra. So apparently this is the words of Narada Muni as repeated by Shukadeva Goswami. So in this part of the Bhagavatam it's being described the different tracts of lands, the structure of the universe and so on, so forth. This is very interesting to the devotees, and interesting to everyone, because Srimad Bhagavatam is main scripture, and yet it is sometimes presenting very strange descriptions of our planet, or our universe, different from what we learn in our geography books, and school textbooks, and the atlases, which we read in the libraries. And so devotees have always been interested how to reconcile these different visions of the universe that are being described with our practical experience. Because this is a doubt. There's a doubt in our mind which can arise. And after all, Krishna consciousness is meant to remove all doubts. So we have to be able to reconcile the differences between our perception of this material world through telescopes and microscopes and through experiments, and the vision of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is being described here by Narad Muni and Shukadev Goswami. So of course our basic philosophy is simple, because we understand that there are two kinds of knowledge. One is we call inductive knowledge, avaroha panta. Another is called one is called scientific knowledge, or inductive knowledge. This is called aroha panta. And the other is called deductive knowledge, avaroha panta, which we receive from our guru, from disciplic succession, from parampara, from personalities like Narada Muni, Shukadeva Goswami, Srila Vyasadeva, Lord Brahma, Krishna. All this knowledge is descending to us, and we're hearing this knowledge. This is called Shruti, knowledge we learn by hearing. Because there are so many things we have to learn by hearing. And we hear that so many things, just like we hear about Romania, what happened in Romania just recently in the newspaper. We have no proof that happened. Nobody here went to Romania and checked it out. But we just accept the authority of the newspaper. We have to accept authority. We have to accept the authority of our mother. Who is my father? She only knows. She has a good idea. Nobody else. If I don't know who is my father, I have to accept the word of my mother. If I don't accept the word of my mother, then there's no way I can find out. So in this way, we, in everyday life, we accept authority. And just sometimes we look at the sun in the sky and we see a disc, a bright disc. We don't know what size it is, a fiery ball. But we learn in the science textbooks that it's 92 million miles away, that it's thousands of times bigger than this Earth planet. So then when the next time we look at the sun, then we see with another vision. So this is, in terms of Shastra, this is called Shastra Chakshush. We have to learn to see through the eyes of the Shastra, or we have to learn to see with our ears, by hearing from higher authority. So this is called the descending process, avaroha panta. We receive knowledge. It's passed down, just like a mango is passed down from the top of a tree and taken to the market. It's not thrown down, it's carefully passed down. Then the mango is taken to the market and sold. And the other process is called the ascending process, whereby we accumulate so many facts and figures. So generally most of us have been brought up with this ascending process of knowledge, based on what we call modern science, experiments. And we see, oh, the modern science is so clever, it's invented the motor car, it's invented the telephone and the television, electric light. So we can see by practical experience that this scientific knowledge does seem to produce some tangible results. Therefore, we also have faith in this scientific knowledge to some degree. So, of course, there's a discrepancy now, which we can recognize between what this Bhagavatam is saying and what our practical experience is saying. This planet seems to be round. If I take a plane to India, then I seem to be going round. And I can see on the map that the plane goes from here to Dubai, and then from Dubai to Delhi and so on. And people have flown around the world. But Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us that system in which we are in is not actually round at all, apparently. It's flat. It's like concentric circles. And it's emanating. The center of this concentric circle is Namasharanya in India. Lord Brahma conceived of the universe with the center as Namasharanya. And this is where Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken, in Namasharanya. The Srimad Bhagavatam is being heard in Namasharanya, which is the center of the universe, which is on this, what we call Bharatvarsa. In this shloka, we're hearing about Bharatvarsa. And this Bharatvarsa, some places in Prabhupada books, Prabhupada says Bharatvarsa means the whole earth. And in this particular place, Prabhupada is saying Bharatvarsa means India. Bharata bhumite hoila manusya janmayar, janmasataka kari kara para upakar. And then of course it describes also that there is a huge mountain, Mount Meru is inverted mountain, is coming from the center of this universe. We can't see this. We're not able to see this. And yet the Srimad Bhagavatam is saying that it's there. No one's seen Mount Meru through a telescope. No one's able to be able to see these concentric circles with the different oceans, Jambudvipa and the ocean of milk, the ocean of salt, the ocean of liquor, the ocean of sugarcane juice. And we have to hear from Srimad Bhagavatam how all these things exist. So how do we reconcile? That in sometimes in Srimad Bhagavatam we hear that the different kings, even they were able to travel to these other places where we cannot travel. We seem to be so limited. They seem to have access to higher dimensions. They were able to travel to the heavenly planets so easily. And so apparently our sense perceptions have become very limited. We're not able to see beyond this globe. But does that mean to say they don't exist? Is that logical? What we see doesn't exist? That's not logical. We so many things we can't see, but we know they exist. It's like the air, we know the air exists. It's all around, but we can't see it. And we, simply by hearing somebody, we know he's there. We can't see him. So, just like a goldfish, he has his vision of the world in his goldfish bowl. It doesn't correspond with our vision of the world. So similarly, we can understand that our vision, three-dimensional vision, is very limited. But those personalities who may live in the heavenly planets, their vision must be much greater than ours. They may be able to see this, our globe, planet Earth, in a completely different way. Because they have access to higher dimensions of perception, which we don't. So in this way, it's not difficult to rationalize the difference between what we hear in Srimad Bhagavatam and what we perceive directly and what we read in the textbooks. So that there's no need for there to be doubts in our mind. But we should understand that at the moment, because of the presence, because we have this temporary material body, which has limited senses, which is likely to make mistakes, which is likely to cheat, which is full of illusion, that we cannot perceive correctly. Even this universe we cannot perceive correctly. And even the scientists, they're always making mistakes. First they thought that the planet Earth was the center of the universe. Then that was Galileo. Then Copernicus came along and he said, no, no, the sun is the center. And then Einstein is saying, there's no center. And every day there's a new experiment. But Srimad Bhagavatam is presenting knowledge from higher authority, and Prabhupada had established what we call the Bhaktivedanta Institute in order to research these things so that the whole world can benefit from this knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam. The whole world can begin to understand what is this universe, and most of all, what is the purpose of coming to this planet, Bharatvarsa? Or in other times it's called Jambudweep, and in other places it's called Ilavritavarsa, this tract of land which we are living in, is meant for a particular purpose. And that's being described in this verse. The purpose of Bharatvasa, of a Bharatvasa birth, is that we get the chance to become Krishna conscious. Excuse me. And this is a famous verse, everyone should know this verse. Bharata bhumite hoila manusa janmayar janma sartaka kari kara par upaka. Prabhupada used to quote this verse many times, especially when he was in India, because he wanted the Indian people to take up this process of preaching Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada one time said the reason people used to ask why is India so poor, so degraded, not so degraded, but why is it so poor materially? Why are there so many famines and earthquakes and things happen there? And Prabhupada said, because the Indian people have not preached the message of Vedic culture all over the world. Therefore they're considered guilty. That is their duty. Particularly the place of India is the heart of Bharatvarsa. And the duty of anyone born in that place is to preach. So Prabhupada fulfilled this. He at least preached all over the world and followed the instructions of Lord Chaitanya. So we have to decide, Prabhupada says, we have to decide what to do with the human form of life. So that's why we came to this movement, because we decided, I want to go back home, back to Godhead. We're in the process of surrendering to Krishna. Prabhupada says, one should certainly give up all other propositions and surrender to Krishna. Krishna will then immediately take charge and relieve one of the results of past sinful life. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mukshe syami masa jaha. Therefore, one should take to Krishna consciousness as Krishna himself recommends. Man mano bhava mad bhakto mad yaji mam namaskaru. So it's a very simple process, that we have to fix our mind on Krishna. And yet it's so difficult. Every one of us is experiencing difficulty. So many difficulties there are. Avacho vegam, manasakroda vegam, jiva vegam, udara pasta vegam. All these urges which we have in our body, urges of the mind, urges of the tongue, urges of the belly and the genitals. It's very difficult for us to struggle with these six senses and the mind. And that is our position. Manastastan indriyani prakriti stani kashati. We're fighting, struggling with this material nature. Each one of us has a problem on hand. Every one of us is struggling with material nature. No one can deny it. Because that is the statement of Bhagavad Gita. Mamaivangso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Manasastan indriyani prakriti stani kashati. Every one of us is struggling with the six senses which include the mind. What is our advantage is that we know how to struggle successfully. We know how to win the fight. We have knowledge how to overcome the urges of the tongue, the mind, the belly, genital, and so on. We know the practical process. Whereas other persons in Bharatvarsa, they don't know the process. They're simply being dragged down, down, down to different species of life, forgetting Krishna, forgetting the human form of life. So that is the real difference between the devotees and the non-devotees, is that we're more fortunate. We are more fortunate because we've had the association of the pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada and his disciples. We have the association of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where others don't. But basically, we're in the same boat as everyone else. And if other persons get the chance to hear about Srimad Bhagavatam, about Krishna, about Lord Chaitanya, they'll also become devotees. You should have this faith. Everybody is a devotee. It's not just that we are living on this farm and all the other farmers are all in Maya. Why are they in Maya? Because they haven't heard about Krishna. There's so many farms and they're doing nicely and there's so many places where people are living. What is the difference between us and them? They haven't heard about Krishna yet. It hasn't dawned on them the significance of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. They don't know I'm not this body. They may be going to church on Sunday. They may be saying their prayers in a sentimental way. But have they ever thought, am I this body? Am I really German? Am I really from the Black Forest, Bavaria? These local people around here, have they really understood this simple thing, which we take for granted? Every one of us knows this. And we preach this every day to somebody, we're not this party. But many people have not even heard. So, one time Lord Chaitanya was in South India, and one Brahmin, Vasudev, wanted to come with him. Please let me travel with you. I'm totally in Maya. You're a sannyasi, I'm totally in Maya. Please let me come with you. Lord Chaitanya said, no, you go back home and you preach the message of Krishna consciousness. Yari deki tari kaha, Krishna upadesh. Amara agyai guhana tari desh. Whoever you meet, you tell them the message of Krishna, the instructions of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. You study these. So that is our situation. We are living here. We have to live somewhere. Unless you're a sannyasi and you're constantly traveling. Even then you may have some responsibility, like we have in Nepal, to develop some place. But from the place where we're staying, there are so many opportunities to preach. And this we can practically do in so many ways. To attract people to Krishna. It's not that we have to travel so far in order to preach. Maybe we have to travel far to maintain, to raise funds, but there's always so many people near at hand who can be attracted to hear about Krishna. In this way, Krishna consciousness can spread organically, because the Maha Mantra is not something which is sectarian, which is localized to a particular community, that anyone can become devotee. And we can see this all over the world. Wherever the temple is, the devotees will join from near the temple. It's a fact. Wherever you start a temple, there's usually somebody living next door who becomes a devotee. And the people near at hand, they become interested. So, wherever we are, that is where the preaching should begin. And, of course, the preaching begins with ourselves. We have to control our senses, our mind. We have to have faith in the words of a spiritual master. We have to follow the regulative principles, chant, avoiding the 10 offenses and so on. Then we become qualified to tell others about Krishna. So Prabhupada says, this is very easy, even for a child. Why not take this path? One should try to follow the instructions of Krishna exactly, and thus become fully eligible to be promoted to the kingdom of God. One should go directly to Krishna and engage in his service. This is the best opportunity offered to the inhabitants of Bharatvarsha. So here we have wonderful deities of Radha Krishna and Lord Nrisingadev. And so many people they don't know. They've never come. So this should be our duty, to invite everyone to come to the temple, to make programs to invite everyone. in every household, every cottage, in the next 10 miles around, 20 miles around, all should have invitations to come. Please come to our festival, come to our party. They should be persuaded to come and meet the Lord of their heart, Radha Krishna. This is the mission of Lord Chaitanya. Emana dolaba manava deha paiki karo bhavanakeya evana bajri yashodashuta charamapodi balaji. You have such a rare human body, but you do not care for this gift. You remain not serving the Lord of your heart. And slowly fall. Remain not serving Radha Madan Mohan and Lord Nisringadev. And slowly fall through your last moments to death. Even our next door neighbors, I wonder if they... Has everyone come to the temple? Or do they think we're some strange, weird people? We should be thinking, actually we know what is this planet for. We know what Germany is for. We know what the Black Forest is for. It's for serving Radha Madan Mohan and Lord Nisringadev. This is the Vedic system. The Vedic system in the Bharat Vasa still is that much of the land is owned by the temple, and the devotees, they have some land, and they give their tithe to the temple, half their crops, they give to the temple for the service of the Lord. In this way, they're slaves. This word is not very popular, but they're slaves to the deity. They don't want their freedom. We don't want any freedom except service to Radha Madan Mohan and Lord Nisringadev. That is real freedom. In the modern society, they say this is becoming a serf, a peasant. This is something degrading. But with Krishna in the center, there's nothing degrading. There's actual freedom. This is actual spiritual life. This is the process of going back home, back to Godhead. So this project is very inspiring. There's so much opportunity for preaching. It may seem very difficult, but actually Krishna must have put us here in order that we have some preaching mission. Just like Prabhupada was wondering, why have you sent me to New York? Such a terrible place. And so difficult to preach. But because he had faith in the words of his spiritual master, he was successful. So here also seems, very daunting, very cold. Only farmers around here in the middle of the country, miles away from anywhere. May seem difficult. But actually Krishna has his plan, you should think. Krishna has a most wonderful plan, which will unfold. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with nice saris and their best dresses, and they come to the temple, and then they have some prasadam together, they chant and sing. They're not clear, you know, particularly whether it's, they don't care so much whether it's Narayan or Ganesh or, you know. They're going because they're having a good time. And they'll be able to have prasadam, they'll be able to sing, meet their friends, and so on. So, it occurred to me also, because I was discussing this in Graz recently. They live in St. Oswald, which is a bit cut off. But I was feeling that this is the approach, that we should make Krishna consciousness sociable to the country folk. Mathura Mohan was immediately thinking, yes, this is a good idea. We'll have an Indian evening. We'll give invitations to all the local people, including the mayor and the doctor, and we'll invite them, and they'll have an Indian evening, and the children can come, like a fair or a festival. People love this sort of thing. In England, we call this a fete, a village fete. F-E-T-E, fete. And people have stalls and merry-go-rounds, and you know, everyone comes along, and they socialize, and meet the vicar, and they say, how'd you do, you know? And there's something to eat and the children come play. In this way, everyone is attracted to, can be attracted to Krishna consciousness somehow or other. And in this way, you know, we shouldn't think these people are just too dull-headed. Maybe it's because we are not, you know, realistic enough and to approach them in a proper way. You know, people in the country, they like social events. And they come to the local town to meet their friends. And this is what a pub is. People meet at the pub, not so much to get drunk, to meet their friends. And in India, people go to the temple to meet their friends. So spiritual life is sadhu sangha. So we somehow have to think that how to attract local people to come and take part in different festivals. And I'm sure that they'll, Krishna, if we think about it, Krishna will give us ways to do it. That's my idea. That's what my contribution is like. Suggestion is like that. I don't know how much you've tried this, but everyone is a devotee at heart. We should have that faith. So we should find ways to, just like Women's Institute in England. In every village there's a Women's Institute, and once a week or twice a week all the ladies come and somebody gives a talk on how to do knitting or how to, you know, something. It brings everyone together, then they have a cup of tea and they, you know. In this way, they make friends with one another. So I feel this is a pattern we should try and follow to create social services for the local people with Krishna in the center. Not that we have to expect everyone immediately to shave their heads and give up eating meat. No, you don't expect that. Take a little time before they can get over these externals. But our first duty as preachers is to make friends. Make friends. That's our first duty. You can't preach to anyone unless he's a friend. He's not going to listen. That was Prabhupada's great gift. He went to New York and he made friends with the hippies. He was so nice and friendly and gave them prasadam and patted them on the back, and he didn't just ram the philosophy down their throat. You've got to stop eating meat, stop illicit sex, stop gambling, stop. Who would have come? If Prabhupada had said that, you're all in Maya, you've got to give up all these things. No. He said, no, everyone can come. Come and chant and sing and dance. It's very nice. So these people may be less receptive than the hippies, of course, because they may not be ready to come and sing and dance. But there's something I'm sure that you can attract them to, whether it's in cooking classes or knitting classes or something, or, you know, something, some social event. Or else we have to go to their social events. If they have their village fetes, they have their carnivals, we should always go there with our prasadam and our homemade honey and cookies and bread, and do our dramas, show them the drama of Lord Nrsimhadev. Another thing I thought of is here in Germany they're very fond of souvenirs, little souvenirs. I was thinking then if we could just have Prahlad souvenirs, make Prahlad a folk story. You know, there's folk stories in these countries. So this can be another folk story, the little boy who believed in God and his father was a cruel demon and all the things he did to him. He'll make little carvings, wood carvings of Prahlad Maharaj and the story of Prahlad Maharaj, or a little picture, you know. Something people at home, they have mantelpiece and they have lots of stupid things. I've been to Hamburg, so, you know, I've got this here, and I've been to Timbuktu, I've got this here. So, you know, I've been to Navar Nrsimha Kshetra, so this is Prahlad Maharaj here, I could hear, this is right. So this way, you can think of ways to make a little tourist attraction, and put our souvenirs in all the souvenir shops for miles around. Every time everyone goes in a souvenir shop, they say, oh, what's this funny little carving, this story of Prahlad Maharaj can be there. Paintings can be there. So much handicrafts. people in Nepal, they're always doing something. Particularly the ladies are always busy with something, some handicraft. In our village, they have this thing. They knit wire. There's one man started a little factory in the village. They make all these bracelets. So they shop out this wire to all the ladies. And when they're, you know, at any spare moment, they're knitting to make a few more rupees. So that they give this to the factory and then they make this into bracelet. So we should be very industrious in this way. Inventive. And if we have some artistic talent, then we can use it to glorify Lord Nrisimhadev and spread the glories of Prahlad Maharaj far and wide. You know, people, they're buying the most stupid things. Why they shouldn't buy souvenirs? In all the souvenir shops. We can have drama groups, doing dramas at the local schools, and there's so many things we can do. So, I mean, these are just some ideas. I'm sure everyone has better ideas. So we shouldn't think, no, it's hopeless. And we become discouraged and think, no, it's a hopeless task. You never know, there may be, you know, the farmer next door, he may become devotee and give his whole land. You know, who knows what the future is going to be in store for us. And we should have faith in that preaching is the answer. Preaching is the essence. Books are the basis. Purity is the force. We have purity. This is a great force. Even if we may not be great preachers, if we're following Prabhupada's instructions, then that purity is a force in itself. People can say, oh, these people, living simply, they don't eat meat, they don't drink, and they believe in God. They're so nice, and their hearts will also be touched. Purity is the force, utility is the principle. So we may have difficulty with the cows, we can't feed them, so we can't have so many calves at the moment. But we're showing example, we don't kill and eat the cows. We want to protect the cows and we can try and use them for ploughing the land. Show the farmers, you know, how to plough the land with the bullocks. Actually, village life is really very wonderful. Which I've seen in India, so it's very attractive. Everyone is more peaceful than they can be in the city. In the city, there's so many distractions, so many disturbances, so much anxiety. You come and live in the village, then immediately sattva guna is there. More peace, more satisfaction. So don't become discouraged by apparent difficulties. I'm sure Krishna, if we just stick to our guns, serving Lord Nrisimhadev and the deities, and Krishna will reveal to us ways how to spread this movement. Of course, I'm not saying we shouldn't go and sell paintings and sell books, because we have to preach. But we can also focus on this, on the local preaching here, and think of ways to, you know, spread the movement here. Because that will fire us up. If some preaching is going on here, then everyone may come fired up. Here's the thing. This preaching is going on here. You know, I'm not trying to criticize. Any other question?
Could you tell a little bit about preaching in Nepal?
Yeah. Well, as I say, this is partly what I'm saying. It's my experience that although people, they may not be ready to become harder, they're very shy at first to come to the temple. But if you make some effort to reach them, then you break down these barriers. For instance, we had a good example. Madai, the temple president, he's a good preacher. He's a very eccentric character. But he's a good preacher. He's made a lot of devotees in Nepal. But there was, in our village in Buddha Nilkanta, there's a lot of Brahmins there, and they're, you know, what are these Hare Krishnas and these Indian devotees? Many of them wouldn't come to the temple. So then Madai had a good idea. Why not make a tour? So we have our Sankirtan bus, which is a big old Mercedes. We should call it 803 truck. And we have it converted, you know, so many people can sit and there's windows and everything. It's quite nice. So he advertised, he went round all the people in the village and personally meeting them, making friends with them. Personal contact is a thing. Make friends with the local people. So then he said, well, we're having a tour. Are we going to go to Gaya? This is where, you know, everyone wants to go to Gaya at least once in their life because they have to do Shraddha for your father. If your father's died, you want to do Shraddha for your father. So these people stuck in Nepal, they never dare to go to India. They're too frightened. You know, go to India all alone, what'll happen? Dacoits may kill me. So they're frightened. So when they heard, oh, they're going to Gaya, and then after Gaya, they're going to Ayodhya, the birthplace of Lord Ramachandra, and then they're going to Vrindavan, and they could see the birthplace of Krishna, then we're going to Hardwar. So pretty soon a whole bunch of people from the village, including the local mayor and his wife and all the leading people, secretary of the local village committee, they all came, you know. And they all paid money too. Good money they paid for the travel and food and everything. And when they came back, you know, half of them had, no, we're not going to smoke anymore, we're going to give up eating meat. And, you know, and they're saying, when is the next tour? We want to go to Jagannath Puri, you know. So just by this brainwave of Madhaj, you know, then something really happened. It broke the ice, so to speak. Otherwise people think, oh, these people are strange. Because there's no way to socialize. Because the secret is we have to find some way to socialize. Because everybody at heart is a devotee. Should understand that. It's just that the modes of nature are there, mental speculation is there. But everybody, you know, basically we're in the same boat. We have to grow old, we have to die. You know, we have the same problems, so therefore why shouldn't we be friends? You know, just because they're eating meat, does that mean to say, you know, we can't make friends with them? Of course we make friends with them. We make friends with everyone. And then by our friendship we have to, of course, influence them to give up eating meat. First of all, we have to make friends. So this we've seen in Nepal. That was a good example of a strategy which worked, is working. So that was a very successful program, which is going on regularly now. These tours to India. So I was saying to Mathura Mohan at St. Oswald, why don't you make a tour from this area? To come to Nava Nisringa Kshetra. Bring your Austrians here to see Lord Nisringadev. They might be interested. I don't know what else how you could do a tour from here, but well, it may be something else you can do, which is completely different, but something like that. But in Nepal, religion is a social religion, Hinduism. So a lot depends on the local devotees, how they interact with the people. So gradually Krishna consciousness is spreading in Nepal. We have our land, which is not half as big as your land here. It's only about 2 acres. And we're building a road and bridges onto the land. And there's one New Zealand... actually he's not New Zealand. He's called Stuart. He's not an initiated devotee, but he's very devoted. He's not initiated, he doesn't chant, he chants one round a day or something. But he's an engineer, he's a bricklayer actually, very experienced at construction and engineering. And he was invited by Prabhupada Maharaj to help build the project there. So he's been very interested in it and he's building very nicely. Very solidly, the bridges and the road. And he has so many children running around after him. He says the best way to preach is to please the children. So every time he drives the Land Rover, there's about 50 kids in the Land Rover. Just going down the road, you know, he's always giving them prasadam. And, you know, he's very fired up. And everybody likes him. He's such a simple person. And so the construction is going on a lot. Local people are helping with the construction. They're getting paid, of course. You have to pay. We don't pay Stuart, of course. He's doing it voluntarily, helping the construction. In this way, you know, persons who live out, who may not be strictly following, does that mean to say they're, you know, we shouldn't cut ourselves off from our own community? Some devotee may be having some difficulty, you know, mental problem or ashram problem, may want to get married, he can't get married or something. He's still at heart, he wants to serve Prabhupada and the movement. We shouldn't think, oh, you know, we're perfect and he's totally in Maya. No. Because many people want to serve Prabhupada, they may not be able to follow strictly. They may be living outside, but they may be able to contribute so much, which we can't contribute, even ourselves living inside. Just like Stuart, he's an engineer and he's doing so much service. Falgun from Germany, doing a lot of service, although he's not able to strictly chant Hare Krishna and everything. He's doing a lot of service for the temple. So people like this, you know, there's a, it's not a hard line between, it used to be when years ago, we used to think there's a hard line between devotees and non-devotees, karmis. But actually, everyone is a devotee at heart. We should understand that. We should try and engage everyone in whatever way they can in serving. So, I've seen this happening in many cases. Just like there was a jeweler. There was one jeweler in Kathmandu, a big jeweler, and his son, we used to preach to him, sell him books. And he was always somebody who used to sit and we used to sit and talk to, and he was interested. Everybody in the yatra must have preached to him a few times. In the end, he started to read Prabhupada's books, and from then on, he became more and more interested. And so then he almost single-handedly arranged the Rath Yatra festival this year. He had a really good Rath Yatra, and it wasn't because of my pushing, because, you know, I had been a bit disillusioned about having Rath Yatra because it was police problems and we weren't registered and anything. So, but Karan Krishna, he's called Karan Krishna Das. He's part of his community called the Newars, which are the original inhabitants of Kathmandu Valley. And all his family are Newars, and you know, these families are so huge. In his family alone, there's about, you know, 300 people. All relatives, you know, and they're all, you know, he's one of the leading members of the family. So, some members of his family, they go to another little Jagannath temple. There's one little Jagannath temple, just like a little thing in the street with railings around, where they do Hare Krishna Kirtan. So by his preaching, and Madai's preaching, we used to go there and have Kirtan and join in their Kirtan. They join in our kirtan, we join in their kirtan, like this. And so, Karan Krishna became fired up about having Rath Yatra. And he said, we must do it. And Jayavataka Maharaj told me, we must do it. So then I was encouraged. Oh, if he's encouraged, then I'm encouraged. So then, he got the local ladies in the little Jagannath temple. Jagannath's about this big, carved out of black stone. Actually, they're not like our Jagannaths. They have arms, like Vasudev, Shankarshan, and, you know, something like that. So, we decided to have the Rath Yatra, and I was collecting some money from life members and so on for the Rath Yatra. And we modified an old cart, and we, you know, it was something which we did with very little preparation. But because of his influence, literally thousands of the community turned out. And without us knowing, the ladies from this little Jagannath temple, they thought, ooh, we must get police permission. If I'd heard about it, I'd say, no, don't go near the police. But they said, no, we must get police permission. So they made a little cart, little, like a perambulator. Perambulator? For the baby? Something like a baby carriage, a big baby carriage. And they had a little photo of Jagannath in it, and a picture of Lord Shiva. You know how these Hindus, they have a picture of everyone you can think of. But anyway, Jagannath was there, and they had a loudspeaker on it, and they had some ropes on it, And all the ladies, they went along to the police station. They said, oh, can we have our Rath Yatra today? Today's Rath Yatra day. So the police said, oh, no problem. Like that. So then they got permission for the Rath Yatra parade. Because we made a big car. Big Jagannath and everything. And then we joined in behind them, you know. So they were going ahead and we were coming behind. So the police were amazed, you know. But simply because there are so many Nepali people, there was no question of, you know, foreigners creating a disturbance, because there's only about 2 foreign devotees there. And all the, you know, all the rest were Matajis in red saris and carrying, you know, offerings. And, you know, when the Matajis turn out, you know, the policemen, they don't dare do anything. Because they turn out in force and they're really heavy customers, you know. No one can do anything, because the ladies are the ones that they're really the religious force in Nepal are the ladies. They turn out to all the festivals in huge numbers. Prabhupada says this. Says that ladies, they may not be so philosophically inclined, but they're very devoted. And so they're very enthusiastic to go to all the festivals. So this was a very great success in Nepal. And we got the the chief of the Keshav Charan, the chief of the Hindu community, he swept in front of the kings. He's the representative of the king. So he swept in front of the cart and he gave a big speech. And then the very next day he had a meeting with the queen and he stood up and said, I've seen this Hare Krishna festival and it's a wonderful thing. And it's the only thing which will save Hinduism in Nepal. Because they're very worried about the Christians. Christians are preaching like anything in Nepal. Villages are becoming Christian and starting to eat meat, eating beef and all this sort of thing. But even the king and queen are worried. So when they heard this Hare Krishna festival was good, then the queen said, now ISKCON must be registered. ISKCON must be registered. So she ordered her secretary to immediately get ISKCON registered. So just by, you know, preaching expands in its own. This is, what's that sloka? Prasya Shakti Vividai Vashuyate. What's the next line? Samas Chabya Dikascha Disyate. By the momentum of Krishna's energy, so many things will take place. Krishna's energies are at work. So by the initial preaching, that is our duty. And so many things are going to, we get the ball rolling and so many things will happen. Just like we're seeing in Russia and these other countries, Krishna consciousness is expanding like anything. So it will also expand here. Automatically by Lord Chaitanya's desire. But those are some of the events in Nepal. Successful preaching events. Of course we have our problems, I'm not going to sit here and tell you all about the problem. I'm telling you all about the enthusing things that happen in Nepal. We have our financial problems and devotee problems and disease problems. But you know, if we concentrate on those, then we just give up, you know, and go back for being karmis again. We want to hear the positive side, how Krishna consciousness is spreading, and how it can be successful. Anyway, any comment you'd like to make? Any other question?
You were talking about the bay astrology, about the ocean milk and the ocean nectar. Some devotees have said to me that this things are existing on a subtle level, and some are saying they exist on a gross level, but we don't know about them. So can you explain a little more, which you asked in this question, how can you reconcile this big difference to what most of us have been brought up on? This just sounds like fantasy, like something which is very difficult to understand and believe.
Sariputta gives a good example. He says that if you have an address in New York, that you have to go to such and such a street, 22nd Street, blocked something or other, then you can go to that place. But that doesn't mean to say you can find that apartment. Because you have to know the apartment number and which floor it's in. So in that example, you're working in two dimensions, but the address is in three dimensions. So, you know, we may be working in three dimensions, but all these things are existing, you know, we're not able to perceive another dimension. In this way, you can rationalize. So all these things may be there, but we're not actually able to perceive at the moment. But the demigods can perceive. Demigods can perceive what we cannot perceive. Because their vision is broader than ours. And persons in the past had broader vision than ours. But now our vision has become restricted. This way you can rationalize. Like I say, a goldfish's view of the world is very limited. Even the biologists, they try and show you what a goldfish sees. It's completely crazy. If you have a goldfish body, you don't see everything. You don't see anything like we see. It's all, goldfish's vision of the world. They can't see, same as we see. So seeing is relative to the organs of perception. And organs of perception are limited to certain dimensions and so on. It's not irrational. If you understand that the spirit soul cannot be burnt by fire, cannot be cut to pieces, cannot be withered by the wind, cannot be moistened by the water. And Prabhupada says, therefore, the Bhagavad Gita was spoken on the sun planet, to the sun god. They have fiery bodies. So, I mean, you know, if you can just understand the existence of the soul, that is the real person, that is eternal, indestructible, immutable, unburnable, etc., then we can understand that there can be many different kinds of bodies which we can have. Some may have access to many dimensions, which this body we have is not have access to. So this is our philosophical and scientific standpoint. The soul is the person. You may have, just like the difference in what's the difference in a bicycle and a Boeing 707. They're both ways to travel. But one is more, sophisticated and developed than the bicycle. But the basic thing is there. You live on the bicycle. You chant Hare Krishna on the bicycle and you chant Hare Krishna in the Boeing 707. You can eat a sandwich on the bicycle, you eat a sandwich in the, you can, you know, do everything more or less in the bicycle that you can do in the 707. So the different kinds of bodies will give us access to different dimensions. So I've recently been reading a nice book by Sadaputa Maharaj on this Vedic cosmology. Maybe if you've got a photocopy machine here, you can make a photocopy and you can read it. It goes into a very nice book called Vedic Cosmology and Astrology by Sadaputa. And basically what I'm saying has come from that, but basically it's coming from Prabhupada's books. He's not adding anything different from Prabhupada's book. We all know the philosophy. The central point is we must understand we're not this body, we're spirit soul. So therefore we can have any kind of body. We can have any kind of body. We have a body of Lord Brahma, we have a body of Indra. So who knows how many dimensions they have access to. They can appear and disappear at will. The demigods suddenly appear on this planet. There's so many descriptions in Srimad Bhagavatam. They can materialize and then disappear. It means they have abilities which we don't have. Even the yogi, you can read about the yogis, they can take they can touch the moon, Prapti Siddhi, they can take a laddu from, you can bring a rasgul from Calcutta. These things that yogis can do. You can see magicians, there are magicians that can do all these things also. So Srimad Bhagavatam is a vision from a description of the universe from persons who have highly developed senses, greater than ours. This is the best rationalization. At the moment our senses are limited, but by Krishna consciousness, we can also expand our vision. If Krishna wants, he may not want, because our main duty is to preach. If we're all the time looking at the sky and saying, look, Mount Meru is there, and you know, then it's going to be very difficult to be concentrated on preaching. So maybe this is Krishna's mercy. Because even the demigods, it's said here, the point is, even the demigods, they want to take birth on this planet. Why? They're not interested in seeing in 50 dimensions, which we can't see, because they have the same problem. Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi. Even if you can see Mount Meru and you can see Jambudweep and all these things, still you're going to have to grow old and die. Abramal Bhuvanal Loka Purnavatinoja. It doesn't solve the problem. The problem is only solved by becoming devotee. Man mano bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskar. So this place is so favorable. Krishna's been here on this planet. Lord Ramachandra, Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada, the great acharyas, all been on this planet. So we're so fortunate. You know, we don't have to really worry too much about all what's going on throughout the universe. Just understand that even the demigods, they want to take birth and join in the Sankirtan movement and dance and sing. And I'm sure they are taking birth. So many nice children are coming. And Grihastha's planning so many children to come. So the demigods, they will take birth and they'll help us spread this movement. They already took birth when Lord Chaitanya was here. So why should they stop taking birth? So this is especially a farm, is an ideal place for bringing up devotees, new children, having school and gurukul. It should be the business of the Grihasthas. Make a nice school here somehow or other. And make all these demigods, you know, bring them up to be great preachers. Yeah, definitely. Srila Prabhupada King. Hari Hari Bol.